best. I love that. The fact that you're outside all the time and we're setting up and, you know, always looking for a place where you have the best view, and then waking up in the morning. And yeah, sometimes it's wet, but you're in a place where the view is just, I'm a view guy. Whenever I have a view, I'm so happy.
Hey everyone, and welcome to season 2 of Behind the Wheel, where we prepare you for your next campervan adventure. Today I have 2 very exciting guests on to talk about the different styles of camping, from wild to glam. We will post any links that we reference, that we talk about in the podcast, over at gobuni.com/podcast. And yeah, let's start off by introducing our exciting guests. To my right, I have Michiel. Can you give us a little intro, Michiel?
Yeah, sure. Hi. I'm a 31-year-old man. I am married. I have 2 kids, and we've been traveling, I think, with our camper van. I call it a camper van. I do know that some people don't agree with it. We've been traveling with it for the last 3 years, I think, and we choose to travel a bit off the beaten track, I would say.
Nice. And to my left, I have our glamper, Adrian.
Yeah, okay, so I think that's my introduction. I went on a campervan trip for the first time last year, which was a lot of fun, and it was a surprise to me, as I'm usually quite explicit about my lack of love for camping. So I guess, that's more than enough.
All right, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing about the different types of camping and how to make it something for you, whether you're a wild camper or a glamper. So yeah, how about we start off by talking about what each of you love about camping? Michiel, take it away.
Well, you say wild camping, but for me it never feels wild camping, because our vehicle has all the things you need to travel comfortably. It feels for me, but what I love about the way we are camping is that we have a certain direction, but we're always looking for nice ways to camp. We don't want to pin ourselves to a campsite with facilities. We don't really care about that. It's more about the place we're ending up to, and I think we specifically love the search for a nice spot to camp, and if possible, with as little people as possible.
Very nice. And Adrian, do we agree? Do we disagree? How do we feel about it?
No, I agree. I mean, I guess what I appreciate most about camping or being out with a camper van is just being outdoors a lot. Me and my family, my wife and 1 small child, it's just the best way to spend your holiday, just being outside for us. And a camper van, that's all you do, because it's not as spacious. So you especially when the weather's good, you're mostly outside. And that's what I enjoy most. The one thing where I would make a different decision generally, I guess, compared to you, Michiel, is where we actually choose campsites that are known to be there's a lot to do there, and there's a lot of young families, there's a lot going on, and we would avoid the quiet a bit. We once spent 2 weeks at a campsite, and the first week was school holidays. The second week, the school holidays were over, and it was like we were the only ones at the campsite, and it felt a bit weird. Like the holiday was already over, but you were still stuck there somehow. So yeah, we like the crowds and the stuff going on, I guess.
What is it that you like about it? The fact that you can socialize and that your kid has someone to play with, or what is it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, when we went away last year, we ended up sitting around the campfire with neighbors, people you've just met, and sharing a bottle of whiskey, some food, having fun. That's what we very much enjoy, but that's also what we enjoy when we're at home. We spend a lot of time with the neighbors, hanging out, and that's our way of sort of winding down during the holidays, I guess, just having fun with some other folks.
I get that. We also, if we're traveling for a longer period, like last year, I think we've been on the road for 5 or 6 weeks, then it's also nice to, like, once every 2 weeks to spend 2 or 3 nights on a campsite where the kids can wander around and just do whatever whatever they feel like, and, you know, enjoy a nice hot shower for once. So I do get that, but for us, you know, there's so many possibilities now to really discover a place. I mean, when you go to France, you can't really camp wild, but you have apps like France Passion, for example, where you stay with a local farmer and they also give you everything you need. You can use electricity and you get water. But then it feels like you really, you know, you're really discovering the country, because then you end up with a local farmer drinking his own wine or tasting his cheese or whatever. And that's more what I think what we like about.
Yeah. Sounds like there's a bit of an element of surprise too, where you can just park up and see, you know, what it's like. And that does sound a lot of fun. I guess it also depends on how long you're staying at one place. Maybe, you know, if you travel around a lot, it's also more fun to visit multiple different places to stay and get some surprises along the way.
Mm-hmm. And it does happen that where, you know, most of the time we only stay like in a place one night, and it does happen where you're driving around, you only see shitty places or places where you're not allowed to stay, and it does happen, you know, where you notice it's getting dark, you still have to set up everything, you don't know what you're gonna eat yet, so it can get stressy, but we notice that you always end up in a cool place.
How does that make you feel, Adrian? Having it all out in the open, trying to figure out how you're going to spend the night?
Well, I guess I've had my fair share of stressful camping as a kid, and maybe that makes me lean more towards, you know, predictability and comfort right now. But to be fair, I probably just learned it the wrong way. We always went with a tent to the most uneventful campsite we have here in the Netherlands, and then we did it for 5 years straight. And you know, you test your little airbed 4 times before leaving, and still it ends up flat in the middle of the night during your holiday, you know. And then you wake up and it's rained all night, and the rain collects into a puddle, and you hit your head against the awning and you get this shower of cold rainwater. And so that's like the camping that I grew up with, and that was pretty stressful already. So I, you know, whenever I choose to go on a holiday now, whether it's camping or something else, I tend to choose the more relaxed, kind of comforted, you know. Yeah. But I do agree that we the last time we spent at one place, we went to one place for 2 weeks, and that was way too long. It gets very, especially if you have a small child, you know, you stick to a lot of routines, and then it gets very repetitive real fast. So yeah, we're definitely looking for next time, if we're going for maybe 2 to 3 weeks or 3 or 4 weeks, to spend time at different places. Maybe not 1 or 2 nights. I think that wouldn't be our thing, because, yeah, we don't like to be on the road as much. But maybe, you know, like five nights in one place, something like that.
And I feel, yeah, I feel you, because we also, this year definitely might be a turning point for us also in the way we're traveling. But it's also the way we are, I think. When we go somewhere, we always end up thinking, oh, I really need to see this thing. And then when the day is over, you're reading and I say, oh man, I really want to see that thing as well. So then you end up, you know, driving around and seeing a lot of things. But I'm very impatient in life as well, in the day-to-day life. So I always... It's like, you know, when you go walking and you are on top of a mountain, and then you think like, oh, this is nice. Ooh, I like that hill as well. What would I see when I'm on that hill? So then before I even get to the top of the hill, I'm already wondering what's on the next hill. So I guess that's how I live as well.
I guess that also just shows the preferences between adventure, active holidays, and relaxed, chilling holidays. I think we all have different needs when it comes to taking time off. So it's nice to see that we have a plethora of opportunities when it comes to camping. Adrian, why don't you describe to me what your ideal camping trip would look like, or maybe an anecdote from a memorable camping experience from the past?
Whew. ideally, it would be not super far away, and there will be a lot of fun stuff to do for not just for our kid, but also for me and my wife. You know, meet fun people, and then, but also have some, like I just said, some diversity. So maybe going to 3 or 4 places. But as long as we're outside a lot and we do have a comfortable bed and an actual kitchen, we should be fine, I guess.
Yeah, so you definitely prefer to do these things with a camper van. You're not much of a tent guy.
No. I mean, last time my wife and I went with a tent was, I think, 2018. We went to Austria in the middle of the mountains. And each day at 5, we were in a valley. And each day at 5, the clouds would collect in the valley. And exactly the same time each day it would start raining, which was fine because we would, you know, go into a restaurant and have fun there. But each day you'd have to dry everything inside and around your tent, you know, hang everything out to dry. And it's like you're doing chores more than you're having fun almost. So that's not, it's not really my thing. It also probably wasn't like a good tent, but, I wouldn't do that anymore, I think.
Right. And Michiel, how do you feel about that? And tell us about your memorable experience or ideal camping trip.
Well, our vehicle actually has 2 rooftop tents, so we basically sleep in a tent every time we stay in that, even when it's getting colder. So sometimes it gets a bit sketchy because we like to travel to places that are not that common, or they are common sometimes, but like, for example, in Scandinavia, you know, sometimes know that you're going to end up in a place where it's going to rain a lot and be very windy. And then the kids tend to get scared a bit as well, especially when you're on top of on quite a high vehicle and the wind is hitting you from the sea. Then we had those events where people got scared, but I love that. The fact that you're outside all the time and that we're setting up and, you know, always looking for a place where you have the best view, and then waking up in the morning. And yeah, sometimes it's wet, but you're in a place where the view is just, I'm a view guy. Whenever I have a view, I'm so happy. I think the first time we really realized that was the first year where we were traveling with our Hilux, and we didn't really know where to go, and then we ended up like in a remote valley in Switzerland, and then we just were able to keep on driving, and we ended up like in the end of a valley, but we had to drive like real 4x4, and we were just surrounded by those magnificent peaks, and we had trouble finding a flat spot because it was just so hilly, and it was fantastic. You're just by yourself. Yeah, it's raining. You just open your tent. You put up an awning. You set up your table. You cook something shady. You know, you just put a one pot spaghetti or something. But it just doesn't really matter. It's because the view is so incredible, and there's nobody.
You make it sound pretty nice, man.
It is very nice. It is very nice. And you do sleep in spots that are not as nice, close to roads. That happens as well, but sometimes you get in spots that are just spot on and make you really happy.
So you're ready to deal with all the forces of nature for a good view?
Yeah, absolutely.
And has this always been the type of camping you've done? Like, can you tell us about your first camping experience, or maybe there was a shift in your life where you started taking up these wild adventure campings?
Yeah, as a kid, we didn't really tend to go camping. I think I only started camping in the youth movement, I think, like scouting, but in Belgium, it's called differently, where we slept in tents on a field somewhere. And yeah, sometimes we had to dug trenches because the water was coming in. I think that those were the first experiences, but I didn't really go camping that much as a kid. We always went to houses, very comfortable houses in southern France with a swimming pool, or in the mountains in Switzerland, for example. When did the shift come? I would say when I was 17 and a friend and I, we went on a on a kayaking trip in Sweden. And I think that was like really a turning point for me, where we kayaked and we slept on a very small island, and we were catching lobsters and cooking them, and you know, and you just had, I think experiencing nature there really was a turning point for me. And I always say I'm very much in love with Scandinavia, and I always say that was like the definite moment that I remember where I just fell in love with the place and the remoteness of things.
Have you also been to Norway? Because that's like the hallmark for wild camping, right?
Yeah, but all of Scandinavia is. Yet you still need to be a bit careful, because last year we stayed on a nice field in Norway, and apparently it was oftentimes just owned by someone, and then they just didn't like us staying there. And then suddenly, when you were ready to go to bed, then they showed up and they say, "Hey guys, please go away." And then you need to be able to move as well. But most of the times you have a lot of opportunities, and you have so many apps you can use to find a nice location. People love to share where they had a nice camping spot. So there's a lot of options.
All right. And Adrian, how about you? You said that you have experience in the wild camping vibes from your childhood, maybe slightly traumatized by it. Tell us about it. Where did the shift come? Where did this love for glamping come about?
I don't know, actually. I mean, I've always done very different things in terms of holidays. In my like early 20s, when I was in college, we mostly went to, you know, Airbnb type of accommodations and traveled around a bit. We always combined multiple destinations within like a 2-3 week period and just go to an apartment or an Airbnb. And then when I met my wife, we started doing all kinds of things, like hitchhiking to Berlin with a tent on our back, you know. And there's a campsite near Berlin, which was actually quite a nice one along a river. And anyway, I'm slightly off track, but I don't know if there was a real turning point. I guess I've mostly just always tried very different things, and sort of the common thread is that I do like a level of comfortability, you know. Like just the other day, we went out and we came back home and it had rained, and we don't have much of a hallway. It's really like you open the door and it's a tiny area where you have to then take off your wet coats, and my 3-year-old has to like take off his wet sandy boots, and very quickly everything becomes very wet and dirty around the house. And then I always get kind of itchy, because then, you know, the water drips from your coat on the ground, and then you take off your shoes, but your socks are immediately wet as well. And then I just, ugh. I don't know what it is, but I have to run upstairs, go get a towel, like refresh my pair of socks. I don't know what it is, but I do like a certain degree of comfortability, I guess. Also, what I remember from camping with a tent as a kid, we would have two tents, like a big one for my parents and a small one for me and my brother. And everything we brought, like groceries and you know, plates to eat from, and everything that we brought was in crates. And it would get really messy and disorganized really fast. Like, you never knew where stuff was. But last year, when we went with the camper van, you can, before you leave, just put everything you want to bring in cupboards and like designated storage spaces within the vehicle. You have a fridge, so you know where everything is, right? And if, like, the first day we were totally unorganized still, and that was very stressful for me. But then we organized everything, and everything was in its right place, and the rest of the week was smooth sailing. Like, for me, that's pretty important to enjoy my holiday, to not have to think like where is everything, and constantly being in chaos.
You don't mind it being that small, or is it it's just a vehicle to get somewhere and to sleep in, and that's it?
Yeah, because I would definitely be classified as like a fair weather camper kind of person. So we would be, you know, it would, the weather is good, so you're outside anyway. the only things, you know, the only reasons to be inside the vehicle is to sleep or cook dinner. But other than that, you're outside anyway. So no, that's I don't need much space per se. As long as my toothpaste and my peanut butter aren't in the same cupboard, I'm good.
As long as there is a cupboard in general, you're good.
Yeah.
So would you say that camper travel has kind of revolutionized the concept of glamping for you?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's definitely, for me, it's a form of glamping, like, to use that word. But I mean, I could still see us also go to, like, a tent with, like, actual beds in there and a fridge. And as long as it's combining outside with a decent level of comfortability. But what I kind of like the vibe of a camper van. It even though we don't, you know, get lost in Norwegian forests, it still feels very free to use a camper van to go on a trip. Because, like, even if you handpick a campsite you want to stay at, if the weather is totally shit, then you can still decide to pack up and leave, right? So it feels quite nice.
Yeah, so it's the flexibility of camper van travel.
I must say that you explain your way of glamping, but for me, the way we travel is also glamping because our tents are very comfortable. We have like full-on mattresses and we have everything you need. For me, you call it wild camping, and it is, I don't feel it that it's that wild. It feels very comfortable as well because we have 120 liters of water, we have a fridge, we have a shower, an outdoor shower, but it's fine. And we have everything we need, and so it feels very comfortable. It only doesn't feel comfortable when it's really pouring rain, and you need to get out of your car and you need to set up everything, and then we don't really have an indoor area to sit in when it's bad weather, and then that sometimes feels uncomfortable. But other than that, I always feel like I'm glamping.
So neither of us are actual Bear Grylls type adventurers.
You don't need to be.
No, I don't want to be.
I guess that's the point of camper travel. You can have it all. You can relax at the campsite, not move a muscle, or you can be in the Norwegian forests and be drenched from the rain.
You also have quite a lot of days with nice weather. It's not always raining.
You don't seek out
the rain. I feel like I sound like it's always raining. We only travel when it's raining. No, that's not. Obviously, that's not true, but it happens. But most of the days are nice, of course.
So what would you say is your favorite destination for wild camping?
For me, it has to be Scandinavia, because you can lose yourself in a forest in Sweden, but you can also go to like very high and remote mountain areas in both Sweden and Norway. So it's definitely has to be Scandinavia for me. But maybe that's because I'm a Scandinavia lover altogether.
And so do you go to dedicated spots, or do you just go into the wild, find a nice place that you can park and just spend the night there until somebody chases you away?
Well, we definitely have a plan. I'm a bit of a Lapland freak, so I tend to push ourselves in that direction, but it's quite far. But other than that, yeah, we often also, let ourselves be guided by the weather apps that are coming over there. And then we just check how's the weather and the wind, especially because we have the tents, guide us. If we notice that it's going to be very rainy and windy for a couple of days, we just go to the seaside or whatever, to a more sunny and nice place.
Right, because it sounds like on the glamping side, there's a lot more planning that goes into it because you just plan on going to one place. But one could argue that a lot more planning might have to go into wild camping. So you have to prepare for all the forces of nature and the routes that you take. Would you say that you plan a lot before these kinds of trips, or do you kind of just go with the flow and see, since you say you also get very excited about different spots, do you just kind of see what comes your way?
Maybe we don't plan that much in a way that we don't really know the exact location we're gonna travel to, but you are quite organized in a way that you need to make sure that if you're on a dirt roads 2 or 3 hours away from the closest village and you get a flat tire, you need to, you know, you need to be able to solve it, or your something breaks on your car, you need to have a nice piece of duct tape to fix it, you know. That's in that way you need to be organized a bit, but yeah, it's more planning wise like, okay, we have a small amount of room where we need to fit everything in. You always take too much clothes, obviously. So you just need to know, like, hey, I have this amount of water. We need quite some to eat and drink. So that's the planning part of it. But then still, yeah.
More survivalist planning. And so, yeah, how does your planning for your trips look like, Adrian? Like, what do you take into consideration? What is important to you when you go on a trip?
Well, me and my wife are much of planning people. We're not planners, per se. We usually confirm our holiday, like, 2 or 3 weeks in advance. And there's usually a direct reason to go someplace. Like, well, actually, this is both an example for and against my case, but my wife just 2 weeks ago planned a weekend for us. So that's only like third week of June or something. So that's quite far ahead that she planned this time. But there was a direct reason to go somewhere. It's like a very fun campsite where they have sort of a festival type of weekend that's fun for kids and for adults. So she just thought, oh, we should go. So she confirmed the trip and, you know, we booked the camper van and that's all set. So that's quite planned for ahead. But then again, there's always a reason to go somewhere. So we never start from scratch. Like, okay, we're going to go for 3 weeks. Where do we want to go? There's always a reason why we pick a certain place to go. So the planning's mostly done for us. We just look out for fun stuff to do as family and then sort of work our way from there. If that makes sense.
All right. I want to hear something about some tips for first-time campers. What are some things that you learned, maybe the hard way, that you can explain to our listeners so that they can prevent going through the misery that you may have gone through? Michiel, I feel like you must have experienced some tricky situations in the middle of nowhere, flat tires, duct tape. Ready to go?
No, actually not. I think something you need to do if you're traveling with your own vehicle is to make sure that it's maintained before you leave, you know. Make sure that the oil is fresh, the batteries are still working just fine. But a tip, I feel like every trip you make, something goes terribly wrong, you know. For example, the second year we traveled, we just left. We thought about, yeah, we're all set, you know. And then first wild camping night, we realized that we forgot to take water with us. So something always happens. I would say, you know, you need to experience it and just make sure that you have everything you need to survive. And that sounds so dramatic. I don't mean it like that. I think if you have food and you have clothes, you know, what's the worst that could happen? You're in Europe.
But doesn't it feel like the bar is set quite low? If your holiday planning is like, what the worst that can happen? Shouldn't you be looking for at least something close to the best, like having fun?
But we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. But I mean, like, planning wise, just go for it.
Yeah, don't worry too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also feel like it's easier to overplan than to, like, not plan. Because the first time we went on a trip, we went with a very tiny vintage Volkswagen vehicle, which looks great, but it's very cramped. It gets very cramped real soon. And it was our first trip, and we also had just moved house. And so we weren't as organized yet in terms of where all our stuff was. And long story short, we ended up bringing moving boxes filled with stuff, like food and clothes and all kinds of other stuff for our kid who was 5 months old back then. And it was just we overpacked like crazy, and we had to move everything each time we wanted to either go to bed or wake up or go and cook, or every time we wanted to move around, we had to move like 4 moving boxes from one place to the next in order to just, you know, do the things you need to do, like cooking and sleeping. So that was not fun. So yeah, my tip would be don't overpack. If anything, just underpack, if that's a word. Because you can always, you know, especially if you go to like a family-friendly style campsite like we do, there's a shop on the side usually, or there's a restaurant or whatever. So you'll never starve and you don't need much clothes.
Definitely the clothing. That's something we make mistakes in the clothing every time. Always you take like 4 pants and then you end up wearing the same pants like all the time, and the same fleece sweater all the time, however, and then in the final week then you notice, oh crap, I need to wear other clothes as well, else they will have been useless, you know.
All right. Yeah, I remember from my last camping trip, the lesson that I learned is that make sure all the cupboards are closed, because things will be flying around once you start driving. You think, oh, I can just leave this pen there. It will be in all sorts of places by the end of the journey. So
I feel like that's a classic beginner's mistake, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's part of the experience of camper van travel. You just keep making mistakes and you keep learning from them. And I think no matter how many times you travel, you'll keep making those mistakes.
Absolutely. That's fine. Yeah. Sometimes I hear like horror stories about dogs. When you take a pet in your van, like what you say, need to make sure that it's fixed. Because if it's sleeping on a bed in the back and you need to like stop suddenly, then your pet is just a rocket flying through the thing. So
a good note for the pet owners out there, make sure that your dog is secured to the bed when you start driving. All right, so that about wraps up the interview. I want to give a really big thanks to Adrian, our glamper, and Michiel, our wild camper. Thank you very much for taking the time and sharing your expertise with us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
I hardly feel like an expert.
I'm sure there are some tidbits of information people can put to use. If you want to learn more, you can also find some articles and some blog posts in the description, as well as on gobooney.com/podcast. We have some really interesting articles about travel hacks for camping in comfort and also tips for wild camping, info about Norway, the most well-known wild camping destination in Europe, and we also included some do's and don'ts for open fire cooking for all the chefs listening. So find all of those links in the description or on gobooney.com/podcast. And last but not least, if you don't already, please follow the show. We will have a lot more interesting episodes coming up about camper life and camper travel, so don't miss out. And if you're interested, we also are available on Instagram @gobooney. And thank you for listening.